should be in operation.
Okay. Oh, yes, very good.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. He walked all over downtown Oklahoma City. It was a panic scene, and finally had made the phone call, contacted his wife, told her that he was all right and needed to go home. And he walked over to this brake repair shop where he knew the man that owned it, looking for a ride home, and ran into four other GSA workers, and they gave him a ride to his house. And he recognized the uniforms that they wore, the kind of dark blue or dark green, khaki-like material, coverall-type outfits. And he said, well, I recognize your uniforms, but I don't recognize you. Are you with the GSA? And these men said that, yes, they were with the GSA out of Fort Worth, Texas. And this gentleman asked them why they were in Oklahoma City. And they told him that they had been brought into Oklahoma City the day before, which would have been April the 18th, to conduct a routine inspection of the building, a routine security inspection of the building. And it didn't occur to this man for almost a year that there was anything out of the ordinary, that these people should be brought in from out of state to routinely check the building. But he understands now the significance of that. One moment, please.
Uno momento, ladies and gentlemen, while she gets her notes in order.
With regard to the information that has been coming to light about Bob Ricks, his presence on the scene before the bombing, being in front of the building, not being at the golf course, and so forth and so on.
And being observed and photographed in conversation with John Doe number 2 before the explosion.
That too.
Damning evidence.
Extremely. Well, yes. He has personally sent threatening memos to some of the people that I have been conversing with and taking information from, basically telling them to just shut up. And we will publish these memos printed on his stationery and bearing his signature, threatening these people if they don't stop telling the truth.
Yes. We know who you are, and we saw what you did, and you're going down. If you had a part in it, or if you know anything about it, you had better come forward now. Because if you don't, you're going to go down with those who perpetrated and carried out this terrible, terrible murder of so many people. And beyond that, it was a spear thrust deep into the heart of America.
It's interesting to note that the police department rescue workers were told on Thursday, August the 20th, that the building was going to be torn down the following Friday, which would have been 8 days later. Of course, the building didn't come down until May the 23rd when it was imploded, but it was intended that the building be removed as quickly as possible. When President Clinton came into Oklahoma City for the big memorial service on Sunday, the 23rd, he met in conference with Oklahoma City Police and Fire Department officials, and he told them, get this mess cleaned up. That's a quote. And they were to do that as quickly as they could. In the meantime, those of us watching this on television, being horrified and everything, we were being told by officials that they were going to search and carry on and dig and remove stuff until they'd found absolutely everybody in there, and they were going to stay there until the job was done. And that's what we were told, clear up until the night of May the 4th, when they publicly announced that they couldn't do any more. There were three bodies left in the building, but they couldn't get to them without endangering the remaining structure, and that the time had come to stop the search and recovery operation. We, on the outside, were led to believe that they just arrived at that decision, that they'd looked at the remaining structure, they'd gotten it for everybody they could get, and so it was a real hard decision to make, but they made it at that moment to stop. We've since discovered that on May the 1st, the decision was made that all search would stop on May the 4th, whether they'd found everybody or not. And that was the order given to the police department and the canine units and everybody else that was working there trying to find everybody. And those guys were under tremendous pressure to make all of the last hits on bodies or whatever they were doing there within that time frame.
We also know that it was a lie that they could not reach or recover those last three bodies without endangering the remaining structure of the building. There was no danger, according to structural engineers who examined the building, of the building falling down whatsoever at that point. It had been shored up where it needed to be shored up, and it was just another lie to the public in order to enable them to more quickly and more efficiently destroy all of the evidence of the internal explosions that actually occurred inside the building that they didn't and still do not want anybody to know about. Where are we going now? What are you looking for? You're not sure. She's going through She's going through her notes feverishly, ladies and gentlemen, trying to find the next subject of conversation.
Can we talk about the reaction to the book?
That's a good idea. What you see, ladies and gentlemen, the book is in the process of going out. It's gone out to about 1,000 people who ordered the book before publication in order to help us get the funds to be able to publish it. You see, none of us are wealthy at all, and we all went deep in the hole to publish this book, and we want to thank everybody who ordered advance copies. An awful lot of the books have been disseminated in the Oklahoma City area. They are in bookstores all over Oklahoma City and parts of Oklahoma. There's a tremendous interest, and Michelle is going to share with us now the reaction to the book and the demand for the book and all of the things that that I'm sure that you're eager to discover.
Well, once the book was published and out, the reaction was immediate. There were certain people that I had worked with who are mentioned in this book who don't like what I said in the book, but they can't do anything about it because it's documented. So these people have been reduced to doing things like slamming the door in the face of the guy who delivers the book to their house, okay? That kind of stuff, that they just can't refute the evidence that's in there. The most beneficial thing, of course, that has happened is that rescuers, firefighters, police officers, highway patrol officers, military guys, victims from inside the building, volunteer relief workers, Red Cross people are seeing the book and saying, well, I've got some more information for you about this. And it's just incredible the number of people who are coming forward with their information. And they recognize the book as credible, as true. I haven't had anybody say, well, that didn't happen. Everybody says it did happen that way.
Well, that's because we don't print anything or release anything that we can't absolutely document, source, and prove right down to the nitty-gritty. And our rule of thumb is at least two and three, if possible, independent sources that don't even know each other before we consider something to be factual.
Well, I was a little bit concerned when the book first came out about how the victims and the rescuers were going to react to this, because you have to understand that 45% of the population of Oklahoma City are employed by the federal, state, and local governments. So for this book to come out, which is openly a militia publication, or I'm known as a militia sympathizer, militia associations, and so forth, I was kind of concerned about how...
You're a high-ranking officer in the militia.
Okay.
For God's sake.
Well...
And it is for God's sake, ladies and gentlemen, that we're doing this.
Well, I had to... I was getting phone calls from people that wanted to talk to me, but they didn't tell me what they wanted to talk to me about. And that kind of bothered me at first, and I finally, figured, well, okay, you better take the plunge and be brave and just do this thing. And it turns out that they agree completely with the material in the book, and they've got additional material they want to add, additional documentation. And because of these people being state, federal, and local employees, if we can use the word employee, right, knowing what the law is about that, they had to know up front where I stood on this and why it was. And in the transcription of one of the interviews that I did, I thought I'd read the response to when I informed one of them that...
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, please do.
Can we say the bad word that's in there?
Let me see what it is. Let me see what it is. Better not.
Okay.
That's different from the context.
Right, yeah. I know. Okay. We're going to skip the bad word. Anyway, I told this individual that, I did have this militia affiliation, and I was going to be interviewing all these people and taking interviews and taking their conversations and transcribing them and putting together notes. And if they had a problem with that militia affiliation, they needed to let me know right away so we could just take care of that right away. And this was the response from the conversation. This person said, "I don't give a blank that you have militia connections and affiliations. This was a setup deal, and I don't give a blank what connections there are. The fact is, you're putting what actually happened in your book. And I don't have any connections with the FBI, ATF, or militias, but I know what the hell happened. So it doesn't matter who or what connections anybody's got, as long as they're reporting the actual facts. I can see why there's militia groups now. I can understand why there's militia groups now, because our government is corrupt, and we just want the truth to be known. The thing is, if you never lie to us, we'll never lie to you. That's the only thing we ask of everybody. All we want is the whole truth to be brought out, and if it has to come out through militia groups or whatever, so be it, just as long as it gets out there for the public to make their own decisions. But this lying and covering up is not cutting it. My biggest problem here is the fact that someone is in jail right now for prior knowledge, who we know good and well that the federal government had prior knowledge. Either release Terry Nichols or put the rest of these guys in jails with him. And that's where I'm coming from. I saw too many people die that day to listen to them say, well, Terry Nichols had prior knowledge, as though he's going to stand trial for all those people who died, when I saw other people down there too. I want their asses in jail, or I want some questions answered. Why did they go out and pick him up? I think the reason they went out and picked him up was for the simple fact that they had to get someone else other than Timothy McVeigh. They had to get somebody else because too many people saw John Doe number 2. I firmly believe that. I didn't see no Terry Nichols down there that day. I don't think that your militia is going to offend anybody, because we don't exactly have the United States government breaking their necks to come out with the truth. So if that's the way the truth has to come out, then that's the way it is. And if anything, it makes the militia groups look like heroes, because they did force the truth out. You are a militia sympathizer, but I found myself a militia sympathizer also. Anytime you have the United States government lying against people just because they belong to a group, you can't help but feel like the American government is attacking people." End of quote.
That's fantastic. Well, she's wrong. We're not militia sympathizers.
No.
We are the militia, and we are the militia of the Second Continental Army of the Republic of the United States of America. And our sole mission, our only goal, is to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, repel invasion. That is the commission given to the militia in the Constitution for the United States of America. And throughout the history of this nation, it has been the militia. The militia, ladies and gentlemen, throughout the history of this nation, and even before it was founded, that has answered the call, fought the battles, preserved the nation. All during the Civil War, most of the units were made up of individual militias from individual states. After World War II, a group of GIs came back and found their whole county had been corrupted. They formed a militia, and they took back the power from the crooks in their county. Ladies and gentlemen, the militia consists under the law of every able-bodied man between the ages of 17 and 45, and everyone who has been honorably discharged or is retired from the military service of the United States of America up until and beyond, if they wish, age 65. So many of you don't even know it, but you are part of the militia, whether you want to be or not. Where do we go from here?
I think we have just about covered it, Bill, what I feel comfortable bringing out this evening. Short of really pointing fingers and naming
names. Oh, there was something else that we do need to talk about.
What?
That absolutely proves that the federal government had foreknowledge. Number one, they claimed that Timothy McVeigh was arrested when a DPS officer made a routine traffic stop. We know that that's not entirely true, because we know there was a military helicopter on the side of the road.
Right, and let's see, 90 minutes after the explosion, Officer Hanger stops the yellow marquee for speeding, and of course back then the speed limit was 55. I understand the car was doing between 75 and 80, and there's no license plate on the back of the car. And he says, of course, that he made a standard arrest, saw the concealed weapon, which means it must not have been terribly concealed if he saw it, and took him off to the Perry County Jail. But we have eyewitnesses who saw the military helicopter, large, drop down out of the sky into the field and surround the car. There wasn't a panic-type situation. It wasn't a guns-drawn type of deal. They just sort of switch-o-change-o'd some people around. And John Doe, too, may have been in the marquee with McVeigh at that time. We don't know. But whoever was in that car was taken out of the area in a military helicopter.
And many witnesses traveling on the highway saw BATF and FBI personnel with ATF and FBI clearly emblazoned on the back of their jackets.
Oh, yeah. Well, they love those jackets. They're real proud of them.
Not only that.
They did the same scene on Friday when they released the news to the media that they had made this arrest. And, you know, the military guys were out there again with the helicopters on Friday as well as on Wednesday.
Yes. And there's something else, too. They claim that they didn't know anything about Terry Nichols or James Nichols until after they had discovered that they had Tim McVeigh in custody and found the name of either James or Terry Nichols in his possession, and then claimed that they went up to get an warrant and went out to arrest James and Terry Nichols. The truth is, they had the warrant before the bombing occurred, and you want to continue? They had the warrant before the bombing occurred, ladies and gentlemen, to search the Nichols home. They were en route to search the Nichols home before they even knew that they had Tim McVeigh in custody, according to their own testimony.
Oh, you're talking about the FBI setting up the office in Sandusky, Michigan.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. To tell you the truth, I was thinking about something else.
I know you're tired, and I know that we're pushing you here, but I think this needs to be done. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Yes,
okay,
I do.
Take it from there.
Okay, the FBI showed up in Michigan with a search and arrest warrants for James Nichols on Thursday, the 20th of April. The FBI stated that they did not have McVeigh, that they knew they had McVeigh, until Friday the 21st.
And they claimed that they didn't know about Nichols until they had received the information from McVeigh because of some jotting down of...
This is something else that I don't even think we've discussed this yet.
Okay.
I have two different individuals who have both told me that as they worked the rescue operation downtown, they were told by their superiors that the FBI already had the guys that did the bombing in jail.
And what date was this?
Well, this was the afternoon of April the 19th.
Okay.
But the FBI pretended that they didn't know that they had McVeigh under arrest in Perry. They knew where he was every single minute.
Yes, because they made the arrest. they were
right,
there.
Right. And there would be no tie-in at all with James Nichols had it not been for the fact that Terry wrote his name down as next of kin when they booked him into the jail. They didn't have any reason to go after James at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they had been surveilling McVeigh for like 2 years, and he had lived for a little while up in Michigan with James and Terry both at James's farm before he took off for Arizona and before Terry took off for Kansas. So in all that surveillance post-Waco, these were people that he was seen with and places where he had lived. And they knew all of that.
Yes.
Well in advance.
So you see, ladies and gentlemen, at least I hope you see, ladies and gentlemen, there is an incredible deception being carried out against the American people, a terrible crime being waged against them. For those of you who don't know it yet, for those of you who have this terrible feeling in your gut that something's wrong, you don't really know what it is, I'm going to tell you right now, World War III started a long time ago, and we've been fighting this battle, those of us who know that it's being waged, and the battle is getting terribly, terribly vicious and evil. And it is a battle, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to go either to the restoration of the Constitution and the Bill of the Rights as the supreme law of this land, or the complete and utter destruction of the United States of America and the emergence of a new world totalitarian socialist government. If you're not in this battle, you better get in it. One of the ways you can get in and begin to understand what's happening is order your copy of Oklahoma City Day One. It's $34.95, postpaid. Make your check or money order payable to Harvest and send it to Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, Arizona, 85925. That's Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, Arizona, 85925. If you want to save $5 on postage and handling and you live in Arizona, anywhere near Springerville, go to Stewart Books. You can get it right there in Oklahoma City. Where can they go to get their books?
Bollinger's Books in Oklahoma City, at Hastings Books and Video in Yukon, at Hastings Books and Video in Norman, and it should be available within the next week at the American Opinion Bookstore in Dell City.
And over the coming months, ladies and gentlemen, it will be available in bookstores across the nation. Across the nation. If you want to hasten getting your book into the bookstore where you live, take the Harvest address and go there and tell them to order that book for you. You'll get it at the proper price, which is $29.95, and you won't have to pay the shipping and handling if you order it through your local bookstore. And I guarantee once they see it, they're going to want to stock it. But whether they do or not, the national distributing chains are going to be placing it in bookstores across the nation pretty soon. Is there something else you wanted to cover before we go?
Only with permission.
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe somebody knows.
Maybe somebody knows. Okay.
Yes.
When the big issue about the Yellow Marquee, the reason that it was stopped, other than McVeigh was speeding, was that it had no license plate on the back. There are certain government officials who are saying that the FBI stole the tag off of McVeigh's vehicle. I cannot reconcile this necessarily with other witnesses who report seeing the tag hanging from one bolt off the back of the car as it sped away. But what we do know is that a great game of musical chairs has been played with the license plates on that vehicle. We were originally told that we were looking for an Arizona license plate, and the tag number was given over the television, and everybody's looking for it. And later we were told we were looking for an Oklahoma license plate, and they sent the sheriff's deputies on horseback riding up and down I-35 between Oklahoma City and Perry, searching the median and the ground off the shoulder of the road, trying to find this Oklahoma plate. And, of course, it was never found. Now we have information that the license plate that was on the Yellow Marquee was an Arkansas plate, license number PTA811. P as in Paul, T as in Taylor, A as in argument. 811 Arkansas plate. There's a story that goes along with that, but we'll leave that for another day.
Yeah, PTA 811. Anybody listening to this broadcast who may know anything about that license plate, please...
Arkansas plate.
I said license plate.
Yeah, but from Arkansas.
Yeah, from Arkansas. If you know anything about it, please send us a letter and tell us what you know, because we need to know. And that about wraps it up.
That does it.
Well... Michelle Moore, I want to thank you so much for all the work that you've done. You are a true American hero in my estimation, and you have gone beyond and above the call of duty. You have never disappointed me or anybody else that you have worked for or with. And all of you listening, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but you owe a great debt of gratitude to this woman, and I hope someday that you're able to show it. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Good night, Bill.
And ladies and gentlemen, good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Don't forget to stay tuned for Quest for Help with Michael Cottingham.
Tell me that happy day, but you know that it's not. my eyes become a lot of the light that you shine can't be seen.
This is the Voice of Freedom, Eager, Arizona. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. Stay tuned now for Quest for Health with Michael Cottingham, which will run in its entirety without interruption.
Quest for Health, and I'm your host, Michael Cottingham. Well, welcome back once again. I hope everyone out there enjoyed the six-part hemp series that I did the last few nights. I believe it was important, not only because hemp or cannabis was and is and most likely will be one day the most important plant that mankind has ever utilized on a daily basis. This fact alone, it was the most important plant in the history of mankind and could be today. And the reason why it isn't legal and obtainable and utilized by everyone in their lives, I think is quite evident. It was outlawed and made illegal so that a few people could benefit. So I hope everyone enjoyed that series and has now a new perspective on hemp, and no longer will they view it as, quote, the evil marijuana, end quote, as they've been made to believe that it is. Tonight we're going to talk about a very important topic, and that's the immune system and herbs that can be utilized for improving the immune system in dealing with viruses and bacteria. And I think the immune system is a very important part of today's health scene, mainly because the immune system is our first line defense against these mutating viruses and mutating bacteria. And I mean, tuberculosis is making a comeback, and cholera, and malaria, and then there's the strep and staph bacteria are now mutating and coming into a stronger phase where antibiotics no longer work. The cases where antibiotics are failing on a daily basis are escalating. There are more and more cases where the patient has to go to the next strongest antibiotic, and a stronger one after that, and a stronger one after that. And it's only through intense abuse of using antibiotics does the patient come close to recovery. And I truly wonder if they are recovered fully. And the viruses and bacteria continue to mutate, and they continue. And it's very important to know about herbal medicines that improve your immune system. So you can rely on the herbs, or you can rely on the herbs and antibiotic therapy. Either way, if you have something else in your healthcare arsenal, like herbal medicines that improve and strengthen the functions of the immune system, then when you do take antibiotics, or if you take them, the chances are they will work better. It's getting to the point where standard practice medicine and modern medicine, with its use and arsenal of antibiotics, isn't good enough anymore. And with all the possibilities that exist out there for new strains of viruses and bacteria that we hear about all the time coming at us, you better learn about a few herbal immunostimulants. They just might save your life. Thank you. the immune system comprises basically every bit of your body, everything. So instead of going into every organ system that makes up the immune system, view the entire human body as the immune system. And when you get sick, when a virus or bacteria penetrates your existence and comes into your being, and you start to feel the effects of this invasion through a pain in the fever or chills or sore throat or swollen lymph glands, your entire body is striving for balance or homeostasis. Your whole body is your immune system. And that includes your brain and your outlook on life and your outlook on your illness. To give you an example, some people have a very negative outlook on life. And when they feel that they're getting sick, they say, oh, I'm coming down with something. I know I'm getting sick. I will get sick. And sure enough, 9 out of 10 times, that person gets sick. So one of the first things that possibly could be of benefit, since it is part of your immune system, is engage your brain in a positive outlook when you're ill. If you're negative, you think you're going to die of cancer, you think you're going to get sicker and sicker, you think the virus is going to win, and you have to suffer, you probably will. If you have a positive attitude, and you begin there to use the positive outlook, the positive influence that the mind has over the body, you're definitely on a good path in dealing with this this invasion or this illness. So it's good to have a positive outlook. What's the point of always having a negative outlook? To give you another example, I often tell people that water is probably the strongest medicine that they could be utilizing. And I know a lot of you think it's boring and you may not agree or you may not quite understand. But if you view a glass of water as actually a medicine with positive influence, that you're going to drink this water and this water is actually going to clean your body and eliminate waste and help your body rebuild cells. By drinking this water, you're going to move out the waste and rebuild cells. Then I guarantee you that water is going to move out waste and rebuild cells and help your body's immune system fight whatever virus or bacteria has invaded it. If you just view the glass of water as something that you have to drink and you don't really enjoy it and it's actually a chore, you're not maximizing the potential. You're not maximizing the possibility of that glass of water actually becoming a visualized and positively charged type of medicine. Mind over matter. The mind is a very powerful healing tool, and having a positive flow come out of the brain and into the body is always better than having a negative flow come out of the brain. And negativity definitely influences the body and the environment around you and other people around you in a negative way. I think many of you will agree with that. So, with a positive outlook and with drinking water as a vehicle that creates movement, you have two main medicines right off the bat that actually can help you improve your immune system and help you heal quicker. Water creates movement, and that is one of the fundamental concepts in healing, is creating movement. Because when you're ill, or sick, or have a disease, it's usually can be referred to or looked at as a stuck, stagnant, or a problem that is here that needs to be moved out. So one of the ways of approaching the use of herbs with the human body is using herbs to create movement in the body, to create this flow of movement from an ill state to a healthy state. Movement is a fundamental key concept in everything, in politics, in philosophies, in religion, in healing, in martial arts. I don't think there is one philosophy or discipline or art form where movement isn't the key. Movement is important. Movement, mobility, flexibility. Movement is one of the absolute key concepts, I believe, in the universe. The human body, when it gets stuck or stagnant, actually has a lack of movement. And so sometimes I like to use herbal medicines to create movement. And you can create specific movement with different herbs. Like you can use herbs like Yerba Santa or Osha or Horehound leaf or Mullein leaf as a tea for lung movement. There are herbs that help kidneys move. There are herbs that help the digestive system move. And so you can focus or narrow the use of herbs. You can narrow it down to specific organ systems. The bottom line is still movement. And you can use herbs that stimulate overall movement in the human body. They touch many organ systems and they increase circulation and waste elimination throughout the entire body. This is another key concept, is creating movement throughout the entire body and throughout specific organ systems, depending on what kind of illness that you have. One of the most important herbs for creating movement for the lymph system is red root. And that's red root is ceanothus. Ceanothus, different species of ceanothus. Ceanothus is the genus, and ceanothus fendleri and greggii and Americana. And actually, there's a plant called New Jersey tea. New Jersey tea was ceanothus Americana. And that was and can be found on the East Coast and down into the central states of the United States. Red root or New Jersey tea was a substitute for black tea during the colonial period, during the Revolutionary War, when commerce was disrupted and black tea was not available. There are traces of caffeine in some of the species of red root in the leaf, but for the most part, we're after the root when we make our medicine, our fresh plant extracts, or our tea. We want to use the red root, the ceanothus root. And red root is probably, without a doubt, the most powerful lymphatic mover. When you have tonsillitis, you have your tonsils are lymph glands that are located in the back of the throat, and you have lymph glands under your arm, and there are lymph glands in the breasts, and there are lymph glands in your groins, and there are lymph glands throughout the entire human body. And lymph glands have the ability of containing and moving lymphatic fluid. They are glands that, when you are ill with a virus or a bacteria, is where a lot of fluids are exchanged. A lot of debris is processed. A lot of viral waste and bacterial waste, cellular waste is processed, stored, and transported. And when you have tonsillitis, you have swollen lymph glands, because essentially the combat of a strep throat or a tonsil infection, the system that is most under stress or attacked is the tonsils, is the lymph glands of the tonsils. They get swollen, they get bogged, they get boggy and inflamed, and they have a lack of movement. And until you create movement by decreasing inflammation and stimulating fluid transportation in and out of the lymph gland, until you do this, you will be suffering with your strep infection or your tonsillitis. And red root can help you increase lymphatic movement. in all the lymph glands throughout the body. It's a very important lymphatic plant. So when you have an immune system deficiency or your immune system is under attack and you start to feel swollen lymph glands, this is usually a sign of an infection or an invasion and a combat and a fighting taking place within your body through your lymph glands, in your lymph glands, through white blood cells. White blood cells are playing a role in this. White blood cells are the scavengers, the waste collectors, and they are going out and fighting whatever needs to be fought at the time. Movement, drinking a lot of water, using a lot of red root extract or red root tea will definitely help you in almost any immune system problem, because the lymph glands are one of the most important and integral part to the immune system, and especially with fighting viruses and contaminants and toxins and things that are causing the body to be out of balance. Red root is a very significant herb for improving lymphatic movement, lymphatic circulation, lymphatic processing. And, I mean, I'm going to just briefly touch upon the herbs in the immune system and throughout this try to weave a pattern or a picture that gives you some understanding. You could study red root itself for many days, and you could study the immune system for weeks and months on end. Most of us won't dedicate the time necessary to get an entire picture or a significant grasp of the give and take and the constant flow throughout the immune system. But if you're ill and you have swollen lymph glands, red root creates movement in the lymph system. And remember, movement is a key to improving health. Movement is a fundamental aspect, one of the major concepts of the immune system. Improving the immune system to move the fluids through the body and process the waste is what you need to focus in on. Thank you.
searching, looking for one good man, a spirit who would not bend or break, who would sit at his father's right hand. I went out walking with the Bible and the gun. The word of God laid heavy on my heart. I was sure I was the one. Now, Jesus, don't you wait up. Jesus, I'll be home soon. Yeah, I went out for the papers. Told her I'd be back by noon. Yeah, I left with nothing but the thought you'd be there too, looking for you. Yeah, I left with nothing but the thought of you. I went wandering.
Years I had a formula that I put together. It was a cold and flu amino formula, amino plus, as we call the cold and flu amino plus. And it was a formula that I used with thousands and thousands of people for the most part, mainly because it worked to stimulate the immune system in both bacterial infections and viral infections. And if you're a healthcare professional and you're listening to this,